Is the economy on the road to recovery?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The 800-pound gorilla of economic indicators just came out a few minutes ago. The gross domestic product, GDP, is a measure of all the goods and services this country produces. And the Commerce Department reports the economy grew for the first time in a year in the third quarter, 3.5%. Here to help us make sense of it all is economist Mark Zandi with Moody's Economy.com. He joins us live. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Stacey.
So 3.5%, this is sounding pretty good. Is the economy on the mend?
Yes, I think the Great Recession is over, and this is proof positive that an economic recovery has finally begun.
What do you expect to see this growth continue? What's driving it?
Well, a lot of it is being driven by stimulus. I mean, I don't think it's any accident the recession ended when the stimulus is providing its maximum economic benefit, cash for clunkers, aid to the housing market. All of those things are very key. And a lot of that stimulus will fade as we move into next year. So I think the economy will continue to move forward, but the rate of growth will slow as we move into 2010.
We just, speaking of that, got some kind of disappointing unemployment numbers out for last week. How does that fit into this equation?
It's a big part of the equation. The biggest problem for the recovery right now is that despite the better GDP, businesses still aren't hiring. And until they start to hire, this recovery we're in won't evolve into a self-sustaining economic expansion. So we need to see those jobless claims start to come down. And in fact, we may need a bit more help from the government to make sure that that, in fact, happens.
What will companies need to start hiring again?
Well, you know, I think part of it's credit. A lot of small businesses just can't get credit. Many of them rely on their credit cards or small banks, and small banks aren't lending, and credit card lenders certainly aren't. And a lot of it's just confidence. Many businesses have been put through the proverbial ringer. They had life-threatening events 6-12 months ago, and it's going to take a little bit of time before they get over that.
Mark Zandi is with Economy.com. Mark, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks so much.
We'll have to see how U.S. markets react to those GDP numbers later this morning, but overseas markets are down. Asian markets dropped for the third day in a row. Tokyo's Nikkei Index down 1.8%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index down 2.25%. In Europe, London's FTSE is off 0.5%. Oil prices are also down. And we got lots of earnings news out this morning. Royal Dutch Shell had a very rough quarter. Profits fell 62%. Stephen Beard has more from London.
Analysts had forecast a big drop in profits for Shell. Nevertheless, the stock market still found today's results disappointing because they failed to deliver the pleasant surprise served up by BP earlier this week. BP's figures were much better than expected. Nick McGregor is an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley. He says BP's a special case. It began cutting its costs much sooner than Shell.
All of the oil majors got fat in the good times and have started to try and trim down their cost base, and BP's at a much more advanced stage of that process.
Shell is trying to catch up, however. The company says it will have shed 5,000 jobs, 5% of the total workforce, by the end of this year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Tomorrow, Apple's iPhone goes on sale in China. But what's life like for the people who make the iPhone? Marketplace's Scott Tong took a look.
Designed in California, assembled in China. Those words are etched on the back of your iPhone. And on the China side of that equation is a migrant worker doing one task over and over. 30-something Mr. Liu injects hot plastic into molds all day. He makes the outer shells of the iPhone.
Each of us is like an ox. We never stop working. The factory is over 100 degrees. We go for 12 hours a day.
Now, Apple doesn't own the plant. It pays a company called Foxconn to make its products. The factory where Liu works holds 100,000 employees. Base pay here is 70 cents an hour, though with overtime, he can make twice that. Still, get out of line here, and coworker Wang says Foxconn docks your pay.
Foxconn punishes you for not finishing your food at the cafeteria. Waste it once, and you get a warning. But if you do it twice, they fine you.
Foxconn denied this in writing. The company does provide that food for free, as well as free dormitories. But Wong pays out of pocket to live off campus. He doesn't want to share a room with 30 other guys. And he wants to eat whatever he wants. Fried rice at this street vendor goes for 80 cents a bowl. But the biggest issue we heard from the workers is unfair compensation. Li Mingqi is in the industrial design department at the iPhone factory.
For instance, they stop paying overtime if you exceed 80 hours a week. No matter how much you work, they won't approve the extra pay.
Foxconn said this is not true. And for all the worker grievances, labor advocate Jeffrey Crothel says workers freely choose to do this because the money's good. Crothel is with the China Labor Bulletin.
The reason they go to the cities to look for work is because life in the countryside is even worse.
And even if they quit, plenty more Chinese are willing to come in and snap together an iPhone for that 70 cents an hour. In Shenzhen, southern China, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
For more on life in the iPhone factory, go to our website, marketplace.org. Today is the anniversary of Black Tuesday. October 29th, 1929 was the worst day in the history of the New York Stock Exchange. The market fell 12%. Thousands of investors were wiped out. Still, prominent economist Irving Fisher told people not to panic.
Stocks have fallen in a week, 30%. The real reason, as I understand it, is that people have been speculating on small margins. It was not that the stock market was very much too high. This country is fundamentally sound.
But the country wasn't fundamentally sound. Black Tuesday marked the beginning of the Great Depression. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.